Just ask that again.
Is that a question? Why do you tell us this? Why terrible things happened with the devotees who handed themselves to Krishna?
Surrendered to Krishna.
Surrendered themselves to Krishna. Not merely something bad, but really terrible.
Bad is bad.
So the question is, why do bad things happen to devotees? They're supposed to be in the family of God. They surrender themselves to God. So now, if I'm in a family with my father and mother, then they protect me. They feed me, they protect me, they try to help me. And they try their best. But even my own parents, that are like they're trying to protect me and take care of me, even they can't protect me from my destiny. So in the Gita and in the Bhagavatam, everywhere it's telling that Krishna is not responsible. Krishna, Bhagavan, God is not responsible for the good or bad deeds of the human being. If we do bad, that's our doing, and we get the reaction. If we do good, that's our doing, and we get the reaction. God everywhere is told Bhagavan or Krishna, he's only the Sakshi, he's just observing. And the living entities, the people in this world, they've been in this world for eternal time, beginningless time. So when we're moving in this world life after life after life, and it's all karma. We do good things, we get good reaction. We do bad things, we get bad reaction. It doesn't matter. You may be born in a family of rich men, a very wealthy family, but still you get diseased. And then you're in the hospital. The son is in the hospital, and the father is saying, I can spend any amount of money to save my son. And the doctor says, oh, no, I'm sorry. He has cancer. He's going to die. So even a man who's very wealthy and rich, he cannot protect his children. It's their destiny. So someone becomes surrendered to Krishna. It's not that now I'm surrendered to Krishna, I won't suffer anymore. Krishna should make me happy. Krishna should make me free from... I should have no diseases. I should have no unhappiness. I should have no calamities. I should have no accidents. I should have no bad things happen to me. Because Krishna's, you know, he's supposed to work for me. And Krishna's supposed to serve me. And supposed to protect me. And Krishna says that he does. He says, I protect my devotees. But then what does that mean? He protects their devotion. So anyone who's a devotee, he's not a pure devotee. If he's a pure devotee, if someone is a pure devotee, they would be living with Krishna. They would be in the spiritual world. Or they would come here out of their own desire or the request of the Lord to preach to others. But mostly, I doubt that all the people, all the devotees that suffer various difficulties, I don't believe they're 100% pure devotees. There's a lot of factors involved, and mostly it's the karma of the devotee. The devotee has karma. And when you begin the process of bhakti, then the karma seeds start to become dissolved and destroyed. Bhakti removes the seeds of karma. It's called the bijam. But in that process of removing, maybe there has to be some punishment, or there has to be some reaction. So we see everywhere, devotees get in accidents, devotees go to jail, devotees get raped, they get robbed, they get beat up, they get cancer, just like everybody else. What is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee? Like this gentleman is asking a question, oh, someone has surrendered to Krishna. What about someone who is not surrendered? Someone who is not surrendered to Krishna, he's also getting raped and getting robbed and getting molested and beat up and cheated and poisoned, and he's also getting cancer. And 5-year-old Karmi children are also dying, and innocent girls or boys are also being burned up, and a house gets on fire. So what did the boy do? He's just living there. But the house caught on fire and he burned up. And so people say, oh, why is this? So no one, whether devotee or non-devotee, no one can blame God. It's just the way it is. It's going on. So why? Because that's the devotee, that there must be, because we see in the Shastras also, it's a little complicated, the life of the devotee. For the non-devotee, everything is the fruits of his karma. It's the sangam. He's associating with different modes of nature, and they have their actions and reactions. This is the way the world works. Action, reaction, cause and effect. The whole world just works like that. So there's all these activities people do that are bad and they get a bad reaction. When someone comes to devotee, he's two things. He can be suffering from his previous karma because he's not 100% pure devotee. If a devotee has no more karma, he's completely destroyed all of his karma by bhakti bhajan. Karmani, karmani nirdhati kintucha bhakti bhajan. Lord Brahma prays in Brahma Samhita, karmani nirdhati kintucha bhakti bhajan. By bhakti bhajan, the karma is nirdhati, it's destroyed, annihilated. When you do fasting, people, karmis, they do fasting and they do different types of atonements and prayaschitta. That removes the reaction that may come to them. Like there's so many statements in Puranas that if you've stolen, or if you say by chance you murdered a Brahmin, somehow you got some argument with a Brahmin and you just... So then there's some atonement. So you murdered that person, now there'll be a reaction. So there's some fastings and bratas, they say if you do all these things, you can get free from the reaction the reaction of murdering that Brahmin. It's called atonement. However, the desire in your heart, the anger in your heart, or the karmic anger and impurity in your heart is not removed. So there's a chance in this life or next life you may murder somebody else because of your anger and your uncontrolled senses. So in bhakti, when you do bhakti bhajan, then one by one, it's like you have a flower, like a dandelion or lotus. Some flower has many petals. So if you keep taking one petal, you take one off, you pick off, throw. Remove it from the flower and the petal and throw on the ground, and pretty soon you'll just have the corolla, the karnikara, the center of the flower, like the lotus, looks like a little cup, a little yellow cup. So the analogy is that when one devotee's doing bhakti bhajan, all those petals of the flower are his karmic desire, his karmic seeds, and they're going off one by one. So in the course of going off, if someone suffers a violent death or has very, like that, murder or whatever, then it's told that that person was very sinful in the last life. So we see, oh, this person is a Hare Krishna devotee. They're doing nice now. But what were they doing in their last life? Or the life before that? Because we see in Puranas, sometimes they say, if you do this particular brat, you can get free from the sins of 7 previous lifetimes. So that means we're carrying in 4 different stages. The karma is in 4 stages within our chitta, within our consciousness. Kutam, bijam, aparabdha, and prarabdha. So one is the seed stage, one is coming to seed, one is fructified, and one is dormant. So all these things are there within everyone. So you can't blame everything on God. God protects the devotees. That means if they're by their karma, they die. But that bhakti that they cultivated, Krishna will give that to them in their next life. That's his gift. When they start off, they die from their karmic reaction. They may be raped or murdered or burned up or whatever your friend was saying, those examples of devotees. But then they had progressed in devotion and had become 10% Krishna conscious. And 90%, they were still controlled by their karma, their different karmic reactions. So then they'll die. The next life, they get another life. Then they start off at 11% Krishna bhakti. And we can see that in the Bhagavatam, proof of how Krishna protects his devotees. King Indradyumna was a king on earth or some higher planet, heavenly planet, and he got in some argument with some other rishi or king or whatever, and he got cursed to become an elephant. And he became a hati or an elephant. But he was a good bhakta. He was a good bhakta, but he wasn't a shud bhakti. He wasn't pure. King Indradyumna. So he died, and he got a new body, and he got punished because of his sins. He became elephant, but still a king of the jungle, elephant. And then a crocodile attacked him and was killing him. And then Krishna, because Krishna says, my devotee never perishes. I protect my devotee. So when he was dying from being attacked by the elephant, then Krishna, in the heart of the elephant, gave him memory of a Sanskrit prayer from his previous life as a human being, as a king, Indradyumna. And so that soul in the elephant's body plucked the lotus flower, offered it up to the sky to Vishnu, and chanted this shloka, and then died. And because Gajendra remembered Krishna at the time of death, Gajendra, who died a horrible death, the atma in the human body that got burned up in the fire or murdered or whatever, that devotee or non-devotee, there's also atma in the body of the elephant. So that elephant died because the crocodile is like that. I mean, Vishnu came and killed the crocodile, then Gajendra also died. So Gajendra got a spiritual body. So these devotees, we undergo incredible suffering because it's our destiny, it's our karma. Otherwise, if it was true that as soon as you get initiated, you have no more karma, then everyone would be a pure devotee as soon as they're initiated. But we don't see that. Devotees take initiation, and they still have kama and krodha and lobe, and they have lust and anger and greed. So then, but they have all that, but now they have bhakti. So that bhakti will start dissolving and removing all that. But maybe their destiny is at this particular age you have to die of rape or murder or burning or whatever your horrible things the person was suggesting. And you'll die, but when these people die, these devotees, maybe they were like Gajendra. They were fully remembering Krishna. We're worried about them and, oh, Krishna, and we're cursing Krishna and we have doubts and we're not happy with our Krishna because Krishna let me down. He let me down. He disappointed me. Krishna's not a good God. He didn't protect these innocent children. They were murdered by some terrorists or whatever. And so he's not good. But back to my point that Krishna does, protecting the devotee doesn't mean that the devotee doesn't get sick. Protecting a devotee doesn't mean that the devotee doesn't get murdered. Protecting a devotee doesn't mean that the devotee doesn't get old and die or whatever. Protecting a devotee means protecting the devotion. Devotee means the quality of devotion. It doesn't mean the body. Gajendra had an elephant's body, but he had devotion. And that was protected by Krishna. Devotion has nothing to do with the human body. Dogs are chanting and dancing in Chaitanya Mangal. Then elephants and Jarikan forest. When Lord Chaitanya went through the Jarikan forest, the elephants and the tigers were dancing with the deer and the elephants. They were chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So this, anyone can serve Krishna. So Krishna protects the bhakti. So all these devotees, maybe when they died, they remembered Krishna and that's their last birth. We're thinking, oh, it's so terrible. She was only 22 and she was doing puja. She was a nice pujari, but somehow her dress caught on fire in the kitchen and she burned up and died. It was in the temple. She was Krishna's pujari. Oh, so Krishna's, why? I don't understand why this happened. It's simple. That was her karma. She's supposed to die at such and such age by fire, and it happened to be in the temple. If she wasn't in the temple, she'd be home, and she would die also by fire. What's the difference between being a karmi and dying at home by fire at the same age of 24, or being a devotee and dying, getting burned up at the age of 24 in the temple? The difference is bhakti. And that person, that the devotee, there's a good chance that Krishna appeared in their mind or on their lips or in their heart when they died and they got liberated. So we're worried about them and we're angry about them and we're disturbed and doubtful about these poor devotees, and they're already there with Krishna. They got liberated because Krishna gave them remembrance of him. He protected their bhakti. And depending on how sincere they were, they remembered Krishna at the time of death and they got liberated. And here we are, we're not liberated, and we're making offenses to Bhagavan. We're doubting Bhagavan or thinking he's not good, and these innocent ladies and children and men or whatever. Everyone is responsible for their own actions, and the reactions to our actions in this life, they come in this life, they come in the next life, they come in five lifetimes. We don't know when they're going to come, but they come. Every action, reaction. This is a law of physics, of the physical reality of the material world, and it's a law of the karmic world also for human beings. There's no karma for animals, only for human beings. The law of karma is there. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. But it's all bad because no matter what you do materially, there is birth, death, old age, and disease. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 16, Abrahma bhuvana loke punar arvatin arjunan mamu peti rikonteya punar janman vidite. Krishna is telling Arjuna, he says, from the highest planet in the universe, Satyalok, Brahmalok, Abrahma bhuvana loke punar, they are down to the lowest planet, Narak. They're all places of repeated birth and death. And so birth and death, old age and disease, everyone is suffering in this material world, whether they're devotees or not devotees. But devotees are engaged in bhakti bhajan to ultimately remove and purify and remove all their karma. So they're eligible and they have the purity of heart and consciousness to return to Krishna. So how one die, everyone will die, whether it's a quote-unquote peaceful death in a hospital or at home, or whether it's a violent death by murder or whatever, death is death. But what are you thinking of at the time of death? The materialist is thinking of this world and people in this world, so he returns to this world. A devotee is thinking of Krishna when he dies, or she dies, so he goes to Krishna. Rather than lamenting for these devotees, maybe it was their destiny to die at 24, but somehow Krishna was very kind to them. So because of Krishna's mercy, that's why they took up bhakti, because he wanted to bring them back to him. They couldn't take up bhakti unless Krishna gave it to them. Bhakti is the mercy of Krishna. So why are they even in the temple? Why are they even devotee children? Because Krishna wanted to liberate them. So Krishna gives them bhakti, which is not in their destiny, it's not part of destiny. Krishna gives them bhakti. And if they do bhakti, serve the deities and cook and chant, then they'll get free from all their karma and go to Krishna. So Krishna is not a bad god. These people are actually very fortunate because they got bhakti by which one can get mukti. And everybody has to die, so you die violently or peacefully. You die. Death is death. All death is no good. But they're not unfortunate, as your friend is thinking. Oh, these people, these devotees were very unfortunate. Krishna let them down. Krishna disappointed them. Krishna is bad. Krishna is not fair. Krishna is not good to me. Krishna is not nice to me. This is what they're thinking. This thinking is offensive and incorrect and foolish. It's ignorance. A person doesn't know anything about Bhagavad Gita at all. Probably never even heard of it or read it. Everything is going on. It's our destiny. That's a word. It's a reality. So bhakti and devotee is always fortunate. It's always fortunate.